This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. The Carr Center, a Detroit staple ever since its beginnings as the Arts League of Michigan in 1991, has been exploring online programming with several digital events a week ever since the COVID-19 shutdown began. And the Performing Arts Center is returning into action this Father's Day with Come Sunday. It's a virtual concert with jazz virtuoso Rodney Whitaker, his children, and trombonist Mike Dees. We're speaking today with President and Chief Executive Officer Oliver Ragsdale Jr. about this and several other things the Carr Center is working on for the summer. Oliver Ragsdale, welcome to Stateside.
Hey, April, how you doing?
Just sitting upright seems like a big victory today, so I'm going to call it good.
It's a victory every day.
The Carr Center has been around, as we said, for decades, but there may be some folks newer to the city who don't know as much about its mission and history. Could you give us the thumbnail sketch?
Well, the Arts League of Michigan, which is our nonprofit parent, if you will, was started in 1991 as an organization set up as a cooperative for African-American arts organizations. And over the years, it evolved from an organization that was more or less a cooperative to one that was very focused on community programming and bringing the best and greatest African-American artists into Detroit while at the same time raising and developing the next generation of African-American artists.
We would be remiss if we didn't note its role in making the area of Harmony Park, you know, so much of the vibrant place that we see today.
Well, we were there for 9 years, and it was a vibrant spot. A lot of great things happened in the Harmony Club building, and that was the evolution to the name the Carr Center. That was the space that we were in. I'm happy that we are now in the Cultural Center, and the work that we're able to do with our partners at Midtown has been and is about to be even greater than what we've done in the past 30 years.
Let's maybe take Sunday's program as something of a case study. This is a virtual concert, and it's called Come Sunday, featuring bass player, Michigan State University music professor, and father, Rodney Whitaker, and some of his extremely talented family. His kids are going to be part of the program as well.
Correct.
And also guest trombonist Mike Dees is on the program. This really feels like an intersection between artists who are vital and very visible in the community and both have a more global portfolio.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, that's sort of a role and a niche that the Carr Center has taken. Rodney, he's also our resident artist in jazz at the Carr Center. And we've been partners together for probably close to 20 years. We're doing jazz education programs, doing concert series. And now Rodney serves as artistic director of our young professional fellowship program, the Gathering Orchestra.
You know, translating the experiences that people may have had at the Carr Center's physical plant into this virtual environment, has that changed at all during the pandemic?
You know, it's really interesting. 6 months ago, we were beginning to think about online programming as it related to the renovation and development of our new spaces in the Cultural Center, in the Park Shelton. And what COVID and the pandemic did was accelerate that thinking. Once all of our performances and exhibitions were canceled, our staff focused on what the new would be. That's what we call it. We don't think that there's a thing called the new normal that's about to happen. We just call it the new. Mm-hmm. And that thinking and those weekly and biweekly meetings that we would have led us to really developing this virtual concept and able to roll it out beginning this week.
Can you say more about what you mean when you say that we should not think of this as a new normal, but just as the new?
Well, you know, we don't know what it's going to be on the other side. For those of us who are heavily in the performing arts world, we really don't know. You know, there are some significant challenges of how we're going to see theater in the near-term future, for sure, how we're going to see a symphony orchestra. And so What we tried to think about was, what would our new be during coming out of the pandemic? You know, we've decided and have developed a program around what we call duos and duets, because that's going to be the size of presentation that you're going to be able to do in the performing arts in the short term.
Right.
And so we're preparing to roll out a new program in September, October, when our new performing arts studio is completed. But that studio now will be fully equipped for broadcast. So all of our presentations will have the ability to be in person, live, and live streamed, and we'll be archiving the work for future viewing.
One has to hope that this may yield some possibilities and benefits even beyond the pandemic, just in terms of people who consider themselves Detroit affiliated and might want to touch base with what you're doing.
You know, there's no doubt about it. We have a tremendous artistic team led by Terry Lynn Carrington as our artistic director. We're spending a lot of time and conversations thinking about what could these new duos be. And Terry talks about it in terms of what would be a traditional duo or duet, piano and violin, singer and a piano. But also we're thinking about, how do you mash dance and drums? How do you put together what we call duo plus one, which could be a third person who's projected on a screen?
Oliver, you have long experience in nonprofit arts administration. Do you worry about the economics for forms like, say, large-scale jazz ensembles or other kinds of performing arts that thrive on their size and the fullness of their sound or their experience?
The first thing I worry about is the art. What is the implications of that? You know, we are challenged. Our largest ensemble is the Gathering Orchestra, which is an 18-piece big band. How do we bring them back together for performance? How do we provide the training opportunities? That's first and foremost. The economics are a different animal. For us, earned income, good or bad, wasn't a big driver for the organization. So that doesn't impact us as much. The ability that we have to be able to start up quickly in the fall, as soon as our space is done, with a capacity that could be 25 or 40% of that space. It was a number that was below what the cost of the event was going to be anyway. So for us, I'm not concerned. If I'm Broadway, if I'm a symphony orchestra, if I'm a large dance company, I think that there are challenges both on the stage and off the stage in the audience.
How do you see your performing arts spaces working in the fall when, as you say, when you're ready to open the doors again?
Well, as I said, we're going to start with the duos and duets. That will be the performers on one side, and we'll have audiences of 25 to 50 in the space. Fortunately, in our new space, we are renovating the former ballroom in the Park Shelton when it was a hotel. So it's a large open space, and it doesn't have permanent seating, and it doesn't have a stage. So it gives us tremendous, tremendous flexibility.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Oliver Ragsdale, president and CEO of the Carr Center, a hub for performing arts in Detroit. What else is on the Carr Center's agenda for the summer? I'm sure a lot of people were curious to know if academies for young people would still be held.
Absolutely. Starting on June the 29th, we are doing our annual summer dance intensive with Debbie Allen, but we're doing it virtually this year. Enrollment is going on until next week, the beginning of next week. And for 3 weeks, students will have the opportunity to study with Debbie and her incredible team of artist teachers from LA. Our students in Detroit will be studying at home 6 days a week for 5 hours a day. They'll be doing all of the things: hip hop, tap, ballet. There's a music theater class for 2 weeks that Debbie will be teaching herself. We also have a program that we are currently engaged in partnership with the College of Creative Studies, Mosaic Youth Theater, and Detroit Public School Community District called the Saturday Academy. And the Saturday Academy is virtual. We have students who are involved in visual arts, students who are involved in vocal music, who are involved in theater. And the Carr Center has the specific responsibilities of instrumental music and dance. It's a two-hour program that happens on Saturdays. It's running now until the end of August, I believe.
We've heard so much about our public school teachers having to adjust to digital instruction. It makes me feel, in a funny way, kind of better that no less than Debbie Allen is figuring this out, too.
Oh, yeah. Debbie came on probably, it was early in the pandemic, and she started doing dance classes on Wednesday for the general public on Instagram, and then on Saturdays for young children 4 to 7 years old, there was a dance class that was involved. As I said, we've been doing concerts that we had archived for the past about 2 months or so, 2.5 months, and we've used the platform. We're still learning. The arts are a little bit challenged. There are timing difficulties. Communication. It's important for students to be able to get feedback from the instructors. So we're working through all of those types of things.
You know, the situation in Detroit, as you noted in a recent Facebook post, has been compounded. There is the pandemic that has brought so much grieving to families and extended communities. There is the economic problems that followed the pandemic. And now, as our streets are filled with people getting their voice heard, attention is turning to our other pandemic, racism. And you invited people to support Black artists and multicultural artists by getting involved with the center. Have you had any other conversations about getting the center involved in the movement?
A number of organizations and individuals reached out to us after we did that piece. The conversations are just beginning. The reality is you can't solve a 400-year-old problem in 2 or 3 weeks. But I think that the important thing is that we are currently in a moment, and moments don't last. All of a sudden, the world is all excited about Juneteenth. And I think that we have to be careful about getting excited about those types of things while they're important and they enlighten and they create opportunities. But Juneteenth is one of 365 days in a year. And that's an important thing to look at. I mean, I think that it's also important, and as some of the conversations that I've been involved in speak to, there is a difference between equity and diversity. There's a real challenge from the African-American lens that I look through of what diversity looks like versus the lens that you see diversity in. And how do we get to a point of real equity from an African-American perspective? How can the Carr Center be a part of the long-term solution, not the short-term solution, the long-term solution that can really lead to a changing of the environment, a changing in the way we see each other, perceive each other, work together, and survive. The COVID pandemic raised issues that existed before the COVID pandemic. I think that's really important to know. The digital divide existed last December. It wasn't just found in March. The healthcare disparities existed last October. They didn't happen on March the 17th when my first friend died. You know, those types of things, the challenges that an African-American arts organization has is not something that has happened in just the 30 years that we've existed or the 75 or 80 years that organizations of color and African-American artists have been out there, you know, as organizations doing their things. So there's no quick solution to this, but our organization is committed to diversity through my eyes. and equity through my eyes. That's a very different one than what most of the conversation is about.
I just wanted to say I'm terribly sorry to hear about your friend.
Great guy. And, you know, the arts world took big hits. We lost people in Detroit. We lost people in New York. We lost people in New Orleans. You know, we lost people all over the world.
Mm-hmm. What are you hearing from some of the folks who are longtime friends of the center or staff members, and just where their heads are right now?
Obviously, people who are associated with the center and who have supported the center get it. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been there to support it. And so that's been really very positive. I think that the most uplifting thing during the whole initial COVID pandemic, if you will, when we started having staff meetings, there are seven of us. You know, we were having these, we started off with conference calls and then moved to Zoom meetings and da, 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 you know, just like everybody else. And, mm-hmm. you know, we started off hugging each other and lifting each other up. We had one staff member who had a close family member who was in a coma for several weeks, medically induced in coma, and has successfully come out of it, having a little last minute challenge. So there was a lot of that going on. And so we were holding each other up. But we also had one of our staff members who announced her pregnancy. Mm. And, you know, that was a really exciting time for all of us. And that was really exciting to see that glow among all of this. And we went through some tough times while we were waiting to get dollars coming in. People went without pay for a while.
That's hard.
But they met every week and no one ever said a word. And now we're back on track. And then when we came up with the duos, then we decided, let's start with this Rodney project this week. And I've seen the edited footage being put together. And it's really exciting. And I'm just so very, very proud of our people. But I'm grateful to God for giving us the strength to see and to move forward and to get through it. We've always had a platform, but you've given us a voice today that is really wonderful. And it's not just about trying to promote Sunday or trying to promote Daddy Allen. It's about this big picture and this big grand world that we live in. And we got to make it work.
Oliver Ragsdale, we really appreciate all the work that you and everybody at the Carr Center are doing. And thanks for your time just to tell us how things are going right now.
Thanks so much, April. It was great to be with you.
Oliver Ragsdale Jr. is president and CEO of the Carr Center in Detroit. Once again, they do have a Father's Day concert coming up this weekend. You can find the information all over their Facebook page. Arts and culture coverage on Stateside is supported in part by an award from the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs.